Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad khatamin nabiyyin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, we were going through the chapter titled Babu Birril Walidain wa Silatil Arham, the chapter which discusses the rights of one's parents and the rights of one's family members, that how as a Muslim it's one of the greatest responsibilities Allah Ta'ala has placed upon us to be good to our parents, to respect them, to love them, to listen to what they have to say, to obey their command. This is a very important responsibility which has been placed upon our shoulders. Similarly, to fulfill and maintain family ties, that our family members, our relatives, these are ties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created amongst ourselves and other people. Now whether these people sometimes may do things that we do not like, maybe they may say things about us, maybe they may do things to harm us or to hurt us, but it still does not take away from the fact that they are our relatives, our rishtadar, and we still need to fulfill their rights and their huquq. So inshallah, just continuing through this chapter, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, قَالَ لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِي وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلُ الَّذِي إِذَا قَطَعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَحَا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne ishaad firmaya ke sila rahmi karne wala wo shakhs nahi hota jo barabar sarabar karta hai, koi uski taraf achhi, matlab unki achhi treatment ho, achhai ho, to phir wo achhai ka mamla farmata hai, aur agar kisi ne uske sath burai ka mamla kiya to wo bhi burai ka mamla farmata hai. To ye sila rahmi nahi hai, ye rishtedaron ki haq ada karna nahi hai. Lekin Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ishaad farmate hain ke rishtedari ka haq ada karne wala wo shakhs hota hai jo agar uske rishtedar ne usse qata taluq kar li phir wo jodne ki koshish karta hai. So this is a very important hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning that the person who maintains family ties is not the one who does tit for tat, that if someone is good to me, I will be good back to them. However, it is the one who, if their family members break ties from them, then they try their best to join ties with them. The next hadith is narrated by Sayyiduna Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu. Sayyiduna Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu, Sakhr ibn Harb was his real name, and his title was Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu. So he mentions in his lengthy hadith, fi qiswati Hiraqal, in the story of Hiraqal. So Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu, on one occasion before he became a Muslim, he was sent to the emperor of the Byzantines, the Byzantine emperor, and his name was Heraclius. That was his real name, but in the hadith we find his name is called Hiraqal. So he was sent, and at that moment in time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also dispatched a letter to this Hiraqal with the invitation and the call towards Islam. So Hiraqal had looked at this letter and then he asked, is there anyone from Arabia who is here? Is there anyone from Hijaz who is here? From Mecca who is here? So his people told him, there is this group of travelers, these merchants who have come from Mecca. So Hiraqal said, call them. So when they were called, he said, I want one of you to speak to me. So amongst themselves, they chose Abu Sufyan, because Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu was the leader, he was the chief. So when he was chosen, he said, look, I have just received a letter from a man called Muhammad. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu knew straight away that what this man Hiraqal was about to say. So Hiraqal asked Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu a few questions. And Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he said, wallahi, I would have lied. I would have not have spoken the truth. But because my people from my community and from my tribe were there, I could not lie in front of them. Because if I lied in front of them, they would have said, oh, Abu Sufyan, look at you. You're a cheat, you're deceiving, you're not saying, you're being dishonest. He said, just out of fear that they would say things to me, I spoke the truth. So every question that Hiraqal asked him, he spoke the truth. And it's a very lengthy hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih al-Muslim, a good full 2 pages, very lengthy hadith. Hiraqal asked many questions. And at the end of this, Hiraqal came to the deduction that this person was indeed a true prophet of Allah. And he was ready to believe in him. But when his followers and when the members of his court saw that Hiraqal was about to believe in Islam, straight away they said, "Oh, Emperor, are you about to leave your religion?" And they became very angry and very hostile towards him. And when he saw this reaction, he said, No, I was just testing you. I was just testing you. I didn't really want to change my religion." So he didn't change his religion. I was looking at a book today in Waterstones, actually. It was called The Byzantine Rulers. And he mentions about Heraclius in there. And he says that he was one of the greatest of the Byzantine leaders, a good Christian, a good man. So he was actually convinced by the message of Islam. This book was written by a non-Muslim. He was convinced with the message of Islam, but because of the influence around him, the peer pressure around him, what people would say if he became a Muslim, he didn't actually go and become a Muslim. So in this hadith, he mentions here that أَنَّ هِرَقَلَ قَالَ لِأَبِي سُفْيَانَ. The Hiraqal asked Sayyidina Abu Sufyan رضي الله عنه فَمَاذَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِهِ يَعْنِي النَّبِيَ صلى الله عليه وسلم. What does your messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم command you to do? اس حدیث کے اندر ہرقل نے سیدنا ابو سفیان رضی اللہ عنہ سے پوچھا کہ تمہارے نبی تمہیں کیا حکم دیتے ہیں. قال قلت یقول اعبد اللہ وحده ولا تشرکوا به شيئا. He said, I replied to him, the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commands us to worship Allah alone and to not associate any partners with him. وَتْرُكُوا مَا يَقُولُ آبَاؤُكُمْ. And he tells us to leave the things that our forefathers used to say. Our forefathers had many wrong beliefs and wrong aqidah. He tells us to leave this. وَيَأْمُرُونَا بِالصَّلَاةِ. And he commands us to perform salah. وَالصِّدْقِ. And he commands us to speak the truth. وَالْعَفَافِ. He commands us to stay chaste, not fall into adultery, not fall into fornication. وَالصِّلَةِ. And he commands us to fulfill family ties, maintain family ties, not break up with your family members. So because of this final part, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought this part of this hadith in this chapter. The next hadith is narrated by Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He mentions that سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّمَ جِهَارًا غَيْرَ مُسِلِّنْ يَقُولُ. سیدنا عبداللہ بن عمر بن عاص رضی اللہ عنہ ارشاد فرماتے ہیں کہ میں نے سنا نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو بلند آواز میں کہتے ہوئے کہ ان آل ابی فلان لیسو بی اولیائی. کہ فلان گرانے جو ہے وہ میرے اولیاء نہیں ہے. اولیاء یہ لفظ قرآن مجید کے اندر ارشاد اللہ تعالیٰ ارشاد فرماتے ہیں اور حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے بھی اس کو استعمال کیا. تو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ارشاد فرماتے ہیں کہ یہ فلاں شخص کے گرانے یہ میرے اولیاء نہیں ہیں. انما ولی اللہ وصالح المؤمنین. بے شک میرا ولی اللہ تعالیٰ ہی ہے اور نیک مسلمان. ولیکن لہم رحم. لیکن وہ میرے رشتہ دار ہے. اگرچہ وہ میرے اولیاء نہیں ہے, وہ میرے رشتہ دار ہے. ابلہا ببلالہا. اور میں رشتہ داری کا حق ادا کرنے والا ہوں گا. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr bin As رضی اللہ عنہ narrates that I heard the Messenger of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم openly saying, without hiding anything, that certain person's family are not my awliya. So what does awliya mean? Awliya has many different meanings. Awliya can mean friends, it can mean protectors, it can mean helpers, many things. So Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم is saying, this certain person's family are not my awliya. They're not very close to me. And then he mentions that إِنَّمَا وَلِيِّيَ اللَّهِ. My wali is only Allah, وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And the pious Muslims, they are my awliya. However, وَلَكِنْ لَهُمْ رَحِمٌ. They have family ties with me. These people, even though they're not my awliya, they're not very close to me, they are my family members. So أَبُلُّهَا بِبَلَالِهَا. أَبُلُّهَا بِبَلَالِهَا means these family ties, connections, they have moisture. So I will keep these ties moist with its moisture, meaning I will continue to maintain family ties. So ulama say here that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to Sayyiduna, referring to Abu Talib and Abu Talib's children. That even though Abu Talib did not become a Muslim and some of his children were not Muslim, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying they are not on the same level as the pious Muslims. The pious Muslims are my awliya. They are the ones who I care for the most. They are the ones who I have the greatest connection with. However, because these people are my family members, they are the children of my uncle Abu Talib, I will still continue to maintain family ties. I will still continue to be good towards them. From this we understand that even if you have family members who are not Muslim, but they are family members, they still have a haq over us, a right over us, and we need to fulfill their rights. The next hadith is narrated by Sayyiduna سلمان بن عامر رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا أفطر أحدكم فليفطر على تمر فإنه بركة. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث شريف كان إرشاد فرماتے ہیں کہ اگر تم میں سے کسی نے افطار کیا تو چاہیے کہ وہ کھجور کے ساتھ افطار کیا کرے. فإنه بركة, چونکہ اس کے اندر برکت ہوتی ہے. فإن لم يجد تمرا فالماء. اور اگر اس کھجور نہیں ملتی تو پھر پانی کے ساتھ افطار کرے, پانی پر افطار کرے. فَإِنَّهُ تَهُورٌ, چونکہ پانی ایک پاکیزہ چیز ہوتی ہے. وقال الصدقة على المسكين صدقة, پھر رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ غریب پر پیسہ خرچ کرنا یہ صدقہ ہوتی ہے, غریب شخص کے اوپر پیسے خرچ کرنا یہ صدقہ ہوتی ہے. وعلى ذي الرحم ثنتان, اور اگر کسی رشتہ دار پر پیسے خرچ کی, خاص کر کے اگر رشتہ دار ہو اور غریب بھی ہو, تو اس میں دو اجر انسان کو ملتی ہے, ایک تو صدقے کا اجر صدقۃ وصلۃ, اور دوسرے صلہ رحمی کا اجر, کہ رشتہ داری قائم کرنے کا اجر, رشتہ داری کے حق ادا کرنے کا اجر. In this hadith, سیدنا سلمان بن عامر رضی اللہ عنہ is narrating that the messenger of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم says, when any of you breaks his fast, then he should break his fast with a date. Why? Because there is blessings in dates. And the scholars have mentioned, dates have many blessings. When you're fasting throughout the day, your digestive system is not functioning as it should function, because you are not putting it under pressure, you're not eating. So the best thing to get your digestive system to function is dates. But what we do many times, we have oily foods, we have foods with a lot of cream, a lot of butter, and these kind of things, and then the digestive system finds it hard to straight away break down those foods or process those foods, and that can cause us many health complications. And then the scholars also mention Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they explain that why is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that dates have blessings, especially at iftar time, because many times your residual food, the food you ate before iftar or yesterday, whatever remains of that food in your belly, sometimes there are harmful toxins. And what dates help to clear those harmful toxins out. So they mentioned that, and they also mentioned that dates are very good for one's eyesight. But again, if taken with moderation. If you take dates excessively, the doctors of old, the atibba, the doctors of old, they would mention that excessive dates will harm your eyesight, but dates taken in moderation will benefit one's eyesight, will strengthen one's eyesight. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that we should take 7 ajwa dates daily. Whoever takes 7 ajwa dates daily, illness will not befall them, illness will not come upon them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam irshad farmate, jo shakhs rozana 7 ajwa khajur hota hai na, jo ajwa khajur, isko agar nosh farmata hai, khata hai, to بیماری اس سے دور رہتی ہے. So we should have this habit as well. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying in this hadith that whenever any of you breaks his fast, he should break his fast with dates, because dates have a lot of barakah, a lot of blessings. If he does not find dates, agar usko khajur nahi milti, then he should break his fast with water. And then he mentions that water is purity. And that's why the scholars say combine with dates and water. And from the best of dates is ajwa dates, and from the best of water is zamzam water. That's why a person should keep zamzam water and ajwa dates for Ramzan to break their fast with. Or when they fast throughout the year, Monday, fasting on Monday, fasting on Thursday, fasting on the day of Arafah, we should always try and break our fast with ajwa dates and zamzam water. That's why in the early days, because nowadays, mashallah, very easy, people go for Umrah, people go for Hajj, you can even go to your local Islamic shop, you can buy ajwa dates, you can buy zamzam water. There was a time when you couldn't do so. People would have to travel for Hajj and Umrah and bring dates and water back with them, and then they would store that in their homes. Dates many times would become bad, especially in hot countries, dates can become bad. So when they would start smelling the dates are becoming bad, they would distribute them, but they would keep the zamzam water through Ramadan. So they would make sure that they break their fast with zamzam water. There are a lot of blessings inside of this. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to mention, spending or giving money to a poor person is sadaqah. غریب پر پیسے خرچ کرنا یہ صدقہ ہوتی ہے. Giving a poor person money is sadaqah. However, giving a relative money, spending your money upon a relative, a family member, you get two rewards, double reward. You get the reward of sadaqah, charity, and you get the reward of maintaining family ties. But the ulama mentioned it's not black and white. Sometimes you might have a poor person who is struggling a lot, and you might have family members who are well off, who have a lot of money, who are happy. Then in that situation, it becomes priority to spend on the poor people. But if you have family members who are poor, then you should spend all your money on them. They are the priority, and this is where you're going to get the most reward. Inshallah, we'll just do one more hadith and we'll finish. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma irshad firmate hai ke kanat tahti imra'atun, mein ایک عورت سے شادی شدہ تھا. وَكُنْتُ أُحِبُّهَا, اور مجھے اس عورت کے ساتھ بہت محبت تھی. وَكَانَ عُمَرُ يَكْرَهُهَا, اور سیدنا عبداللہ بن عمر رضی اللہ عنہ کے والد صاحب سیدنا عمر بن خطاب رضی اللہ عنہ ہے, تو فرماتے کہ میرے والد صاحب سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ عنہ اس عورت کو پسند نہیں فرماتے تھے. تو علماء فرماتے چونکہ اس کے اندر ہو سکتا ہے اس طرح کوئی ایسے خامی تھی جو اس کے دین کو افیکٹ کر رہی ہوں. چونکہ ویسے تو سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ عنہ کسی بےہودہ چیز پر کسی عورت سے نفرت نہیں کرنے والے تھے, یہ ضرور اس کے دین کے اندر کچھ ایسے خامی تھی جس کی وجہ سے ان کو ڈر تھا کہ یہ میرے بیٹے کے ساتھ اس کی زندگی گزر رہا ہے تو ہو سکتا ہے میرے بیٹے کے اوپر اس کی وجہ سے کچھ برا اثر پڑے. تو سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ نے فقال لی طلقها, سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ عنہ نے میرے والد صاحب نے مجھے کہا کہ اس کو طلاق دے دو, میرے والد صاحب نے مجھے کہا کہ اس کو طلاق دے دو. فاتا عمر رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, تو میں نے اعراض کر دی, میں نے طلاق نہیں دیا. تو سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ عنہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پاس گئے, فذکر ذلك له, اور اس واقعہ کو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے سامنے بیان فرمایا. فقال النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم طلقها, رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے مجھ سے فرمایا کہ اس کو طلاق دے دو. So in this hadith, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, he is narrating this hadith. He says, I had a wife who I used to love excessively, and my father, Sayyidina Umar, he did not used to like her. So the scholars mention Sayyidina Umar would not like her over some kind of petty reason. Rather, it would have been something which was wrong with her religion, with her deen. This is why Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would have had issues with her. That my son is living with her, and if my son lives with her and has children from her, it will affect him and his children's deen. So he said to me, divorce her. My father said to me, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, divorce her. فَأَبَيْتُ, and I refused. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he mentioned this to him, that my son Abdullah is married to a lady and I have found certain faults in her, certain flaws in her, so I've commanded my son to divorce her, but he's not agreeing to it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, طلقها, divorce her. And there's another hadith like this coming straight after, that Sayyidina, a person came to Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and he said to him that I have a wife and my mother, wa inna ummi ta'muruni bi talaqiha, my mother is telling me to divorce her. فقال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, so سيدنا أبو درداء رضي الله عنه, he said, I heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that الوالد أوسط أبواب الجنة, your parents are the middle door of Jannah. فإن شئت فأضع ذلك الباب, if you want to, then waste that door, don't use that door, you don't need to enter through that door if you don't want to. وإن شئت فاحفظه, and if you want to, then protect that door, maintain that door. So both of these hadith are similar, because in this hadith is a very serious matter, divorcing one's wife on the command of one's parents. So the ulama mentioned that, look, if someone is in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the time of the Sahaba, when the level of deen was such and it was strong, and the Sahaba were so meticulous and so particular that they would fulfill every single aspect of deen, then for them, disobeying their parents was not even something they could imagine. Anything their parents told them to do, as long as it was not a guna, as long as it was not sinful, they would obey them. And that's why when this person said, Ya Rasul, he said to Sayyidina Abu Darda, O Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, I have a wife, I love her, but my mother tells me to divorce her. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu didn't even ask, why is your mother telling you to divorce her? Maybe she's in the wrong, maybe your wife's in the wrong, maybe you're in the wrong. You know the way we would try and understand the situation. He straight away, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, your parents are the middle door of Jannah. The ulama explained from here, middle door of Jannah meaning the greatest avenue or the greatest path to Jannah, or that action which gives you the greatest opportunity to get to Jannah is obedience to one's parents. And similarly, the action which is going to definitely take you to the fire of Jahannam is disobedience to one's parents, not listening to one's parents. Now, ulama have mentioned many other things. Some have mentioned there is a special door in Jannah just for those people who obey their parents. So Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu straight away said, look, your parents are your door to Jannah. You can obey your mother. Doesn't matter what your wife has done. If you listen to your mother, she'll be happy. And if you divorce this lady, if you do not listen to your mother, she'll be unhappy, and your chances of going to Jannah are becoming very slim. Obviously, nowadays, we're not going to straight away go to such a decision, because our deen is very weak anyway. And that's why some ulama have explained this hadith by saying, look, if you are someone who obeys your parents in everything, you've never ever disobeyed your parents. Kabhi bhi walidain ki nafarmani nahi ki. بہت کم ایسے لوگ ہیں جو کہہ سکتے ہیں میں نے کبھی بھی والدین کے خلاف ایک بات بھی نہیں کیا. So if you have never ever disobeyed your parents in anything, and then they come to you and say, look, I don't want you to live with this lady, then it becomes necessary for you to do so. But that's one explanation. A better explanation is because there are those, and we've seen these examples with our eyes, parents put pressure on them, the marriages break up, and then that person, he goes into depression, because he wanted to stay with that lady. And when he goes into depression, he becomes so hostile towards his parents, and then all these years he was so good to his parents, now he starts to disrespect them, disobey them. Because of you guys, this is what's happened to me. Because of you guys, I had a good lady I was married to, this and that, and all of that has gone. So that's why we need to look at his situation individually, and we need to try and make things work out amongst ourselves. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the understanding. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.